His widow is still alive, and we communicate with her because we cannot help but remember the effect that her dear husband and herself had upon us when we were young, in the faith, even before we were married, and after we were married. The one was a dear man who was very careful to have the young people over to his home, just to have a little visit, have a coffee together, and hospitality in his home, he and his dear wife. The other man, the other dear brother, was one who kept us busy. He kept us busy at tract work. He kept us busy in open air work at that time. And he kept us occupied for God. And both of those men left an impression on my life. The first dear brother, he really gave to me an appreciation of the fact that he loved God's people. And that impressed me. He wasn't putting up with not us, because in youth, you know, we're always reaching for the outside of the envelope. We're trying to test things, and we're trying to learn. We're wanting to experience. We're wanting to experiment. But he understood that. He was an older brother. Dear Mr. Adams was his name. In fact, he was an uncle to the Adams brothers that we know. And he was very careful with that, but he loved us. And the other dear brother was occupied with making sure that our life was being used in a fruitful manner. And he had us, as I mentioned, he had us occupied with the gospel, and that created within my heart a love for sinners. That's how it gets started. And so, my dearly beloved brethren who are overseers amongst us, you have my respect and prayers, for I do pray for the overseers at home as well as in other places where I move. And so what I have before me today, I trust, will be an encouragement, but likewise for those who are taken into the confidence of the oversight, and they see in younger men potential as overseers, I wish to try and be a help a little today. There are four things that I want to look at with you. I want to look at the character of a shepherd and his appreciation for the flock. And we will turn to the book of Genesis, please, in chapter 33 for our first reading. And then I would like to notice the choice of a shepherd who had its development in the days of his youth. And then the courage of a shepherd who values the character of the sheep as well as their need, particularly of the lambs. So we will read four scriptures together, Genesis 33 and verse 13. Or I will read them to you, not read them together. Pardon me. My Lord knoweth that the children are tender, and the flocks and herds with young are with me. And if men should overdrive them one day, all the flock will die. That is the character of an overseer or a shepherd in his appreciation and care of the sheep, dear Jacob. Now turn, please, to the Psalms, number 78, where we read last evening together. Psalm 78 and verse 70. God's choice of David. He chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds, from following the ewes, great with young. He brought him to feed Jacob his people, and Israel his inheritance. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart, and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. So we see an overseer or a shepherd developed by the in his occupation of his youth. And also we see an overseer very dependable in his private life of being trusted with sheep. And a third reading, please, in 1 Samuel chapter 17 concerning dear David as a shepherd. 1 Samuel 17, and look, please, at verse 34. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. So we see the courage of a shepherd who valued even a little lamb. Now, one other text, please, in the New Testament, in Hebrews chapter 13, in the 17th verse, which our brother Ramsey read to us, but we will read it again, for I just want to make one point of emphasis from this verse. Hebrews 13 and verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. I want to emphasize in that passage the obedience of the sheep to the shepherd. In our first three readings, we're noticing concerning the character of shepherds that have a true love for the sheep. John learned a few lessons about sheep, and I have made inquiry from different shepherds in different countries, actually, who were shepherds, to try and learn a few principles of the guidance and the help of the shepherd for his sheep. And one thing that is very evident, and John learned that as well, and that is that you don't just have sheep for what you get out of them. You have to understand the character of the sheep before you will get anything from them. And that is a very definite principle, even in the spiritual realm. Our Lord Jesus teaches that in John chapter 10. In order to see the sheep as a flock, in chapter 10 of John's Gospel, it's very interesting to notice how the Lord Jesus places such value, even to the point of giving his life for the sheep. So there is a deep-rooted love for that flock. And of course, we realize that it's the future that is in view, and what a glorious day it will be when we sheep are gathered around the chief shepherd. We long for that day. It will be a marvelous day. He has been so patient, so gracious, so wise, and he has entrusted other men with his flock, and we are sheep of that flock, and we would respect, first of all, the men, and likewise respect the office that is given to them by the Holy Spirit. Now, looking at the notes that I have given to you in the outline, I'm just going to make mention of them, but I want to try and notice some of the thoughts that I have in my heart and my mind behind these ideas of the meaning of the word elder and the manner and the methods of his oversight work. And it is very important. And particularly, can I say, again, address myself to those who are younger brethren. I'm not a young man anymore, and I don't want to appeal to this idea that I'm an old man, because I don't want to get there yet. I don't know what will happen to me when I get there. I'm almost afraid of it already, even though I am not young anymore. But for those of you who are young, and those beloved brethren who are older, as myself, and you are overseers, and you are desiring to train and to see God develop those younger men, it is for those younger men that I would like to mainly address my thoughts today. So I hope it will be a help to the older ones to encourage them, and it will be a definite guidance for those who are younger. We've been hearing from Brother Ramsey mainly concerning the sheep and communication with the flock. And I want to try and notice with you the real meaning of an elder is a communicator. It's a very interesting thing that, as I have mentioned in the notes there in the Greek New Testament, the word elder is really an adjective word. from the word presbytery. It's expressing the idea of comparative value and age. In other words, experience that comes through the experiences of age. So age has something to do with the idea of being an overseer. And an overseer is a very interesting word. If you look at it in the light of the Old Testament and the way the Lord used overseers in Israel, we get an understanding of what it means to be an overseer. In contrast with the idea of being, as Peter says, not being a lord. Peter lived under the guidance of Jewish overseers before he followed the person of our Lord Jesus. That was their guidance. And the overseer was called three things in the Old Testament. He was a prince. That gave to him an office that was to be respected. And he was called as well, in connection with Solomon in the temple, he was called an overseer. That meant he was a teacher. He taught the young priests. He taught the young Levites the principles relative to worship and the service of the people of God in the temple. And the other word that's used for the overseer is judge. So the judge was the one who made decisions, and his word gave to the people the wisdom of God. That is the idea of an overseer amongst the Lord's people today. And the same principles apply in New Testament teaching, as we will notice just in a moment. So the idea and the responsibility of the meaning of the word elder is interpreted in our New Testament as the word rule. That word rule is interpreted from the Greek language in three different ways. One way, when it's used in the Epistle to the Hebrews, it means to point out a way for others, to point out the way. This is the way, walk ye in it. It's the pointing out of a way. And of course, that's going to include teaching, which we're going to be noticing a little, and connection with the feeding of the flock. So even those of us who are sheep under the guidance of our overseers, when they're seeking to minister the word of God to us, or when they come to us with a word of counsel, they are not being the boss. They are pointing out the way. We need to interpret that attitude in the light of what the New Testament is, because they're given that burden to rule. And the second word, meaning of the word rule in the Greek language, has to do with the idea of standing before them as an example to follow. In other words, we can trust them in the way that they are leading us. And so, younger brethren coming into responsibility, it isn't you giving words of authority. It's you being the authority of the word. And that can only be by example. That's what he is showing. So the idea of rule is standing before them as an example that's trustworthy. Because when we think of what we were listening to last evening, we find that there are so many different avenues in assembly life that have to be dealt with. There's monetary matters, and there's marriage, and there are young people in their dating habits, and then there are relative to family upbringing. And then there is the matter of handling teaching and encouraging and developing in the attitudes of worship and activity. So many different avenues. And so the dear overseer, seeking to guide for God, given that responsibility, he has to be an example in these things. And so when it comes to the prayer meeting, he's not praying for 15 minutes. That's a bad example. And he's not going around sticking his nose in things that he doesn't belong. That's a bad example. But he is one who quietly stands and watches and listens. Because in his heart, there is placed a burden that this flock must be kept together. We can't afford to lose any, and we don't want any to be crippled or to be sick. So it is a work of an elder as a rule, being an example before the people of God. The third occasion it's used is in the book of Revelation, chapter 2. And the word that's used there is the idea of care. Care as a shepherd. So there is the thought, of course, of being having an acquaintance with what the need is, so that there can be appropriate care. And we've been hearing from Mr. Ramsey here already today concerning the different attitudes that are very complex at times, particularly for those of us who are not young anymore. And we have to have an exercise to learn to adapt, to understand, and therefore to appropriately apply the word of the Lord. When it comes to the manners and the methods of oversight work, still dealing with the character of the shepherd and his appreciation of the flock, you'll have noticed that I mentioned the book of Judges in my outline, as well as personality. And then in John chapter 21, the Lord's teachings to dear Peter, the fisherman who became a shepherd by divine appointment and by divine development, as we would notice from reading in his epistle. Let me just emphasize again the fact that shepherding is not, brethren, being nosy or critical. There must be a criticism, a critical analysis, and therefore sometimes criticism is the right approach to what has been critically analyzed. We all realize that in our own life, and shepherds are responsible for that. And again, I say for dear younger brethren, to be very slow at criticizing, but do learn to critically analyze. When we look at teaching, we listen to brethren pray, and we listen to their conversations, even at home, their tables and their wives together, we understand the need for analyzing critically in order to comprehend the need of the flock and how best we may be able to guide them and to supply for them relative to ministry as well as the care of shepherding. I was thinking of what my brother was saying regarding the unity of the flock, which is a very precious thing to the Lord. When you read the epistle to the Ephesians, you're going to find it in every chapter. So we know it's a burden to our Lord. And if it is a burden to the Lord that Jews and Gentiles should be getting along, and the personality conflicts and the background baggage that each of them bring with them should not become a means for conflict, we can see that unity amongst the people of God is a real burden to the chief shepherd, and it should be to our hearts as well. And when we look at the shepherding of the flock in view of that unity, I was thinking of dear Solomon. You know, David and Solomon, if you put the two of them together, you have a very beautiful picture of the purposes of God relative. First of all, we know prophetically it has to do with the person of David, as he is the great warrior, and the great benefits of his work as a warrior. And Solomon is the son who reigns in peace. It requires the two of them to represent the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus. But he is the king of righteousness, David is, and Solomon is the king of peace. And as we put those two together, we find the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I was thinking of dear Solomon, the wisest man, and really, shepherds have to have almost the wisdom of Solomon to try and maintain unity in the assembly at times because of the fragility of circumstances and also the necessary wisdom to seek to guide and to handle different individuals. I was thinking of my dear brother Ramsey speaking about these different sheep. In the book of Deuteronomy, The Lord says, if you have a sheep who's a butter, and that means he's going around butting everybody just to make trouble, you have to handle that sheep. And sometimes, if he persisted, that was the end of that sheep. He had to be done away with. The point being made, of course, is when we would apply that in the spiritual realm, if you're a butter, you can expect to have a visit from overseers to try to help you to see that you are causing a problem in the flock. That has to be stopped. Don't be a butter, one who's always provoking, trying to make a problem, criticizing, butting. Hit this one, hit the other one. Oh, says our blessed God, that sheep is a danger in the flock. And the shepherd has to handle that individual. And so there are different things like that that arise. And I would like to say, dear brother, in particular, we need to remember, we have an enemy of God's assembly, and his name is the devil. He hates God's assemblies. And just as it was in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, he tries to employ those who are inside working, who are part of the fellowship of the flock, to use them as an agent to destroy the fellowship of God's assembly. So when a problem arises, my dear brother and dear sister, let me appeal to you. When a problem arises and you think you're right, I'm standing for the truth, and the other brother is wrong, and the overseers don't understand, please remember, behind every conflict is the devil. Don't let him use you. Don't become in his hand the reason for a conflict that will cause the sheep to wander, to scatter, rather than to come together. The wicked one is determined to defile and destroy the honor of the testimony of the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the manners and the methods of the overseers must be that which will seek to maintain that unity amongst the Lord's people. In the book of Judges, which I have mentioned and my outline there, the shepherds or judges were selected from 6 different tribes. So they did have different backgrounds. And there were 6 different occupations. There was a farmer, a priest, and a judge, and so on. And the Lord chose these different men and raised them up to be shepherds. Now, there's great wisdom in that, dear brother. I think we, of course, there is wisdom because it's divine. Please excuse me for saying there's great wisdom in it. But the wisdom in it is, there are varieties of personalities and occupations and backgrounds amongst the flock. So the Lord has these different men from different occupations. One may be a laborer, the other may be a doctor, the other may be a teacher. But from these different avenues, God puts within their heart a love for that flock, because the acumen of each one of these individuals is able to be applied to the different needs that will arise amongst the Lord's people. So it isn't a question of whether, well, you're the good businessman, so you'll make a good overseer, or you're a good talker, so you'll make a good overseer. No, what I want to try and emphasize is the fact that even at this time in the book of Judges, where the atmosphere amongst the people was every man do what's right in his own eyes, is the sheep of which we were listening to Brother Ramsey concerning their attitude. We find that God is going to show that he has men whom he can trust to teach to the rest of the dear saints the truth of this theocracy, as we were thinking of, God ruling. You know, when Paul writes to Timothy, he reminds us that it is the house of God. That's government. That's not only provision, that's government. And our blessed Lord governs. And he uses men just like he did in Israel, princes and judges and men whom he raises up in keeping with that need. So, dear brethren, we need to respect the brethren not because of whether they're influential, not because of whether they have earned a good bit of money and therefore they have a good voice, but because God has burdened them with a love for us. And so we respect the office and we respect the men whom God will bring into the office of oversight. And so their manners and their methods are in keeping with a divine calling and a divine development. Their personality, let me note with you for a few moments together. In personality of the shepherds, one thing that God never does, he never sanctifies a self-made superiority attitude. I think probably the Apostle Paul is the best example of that. He was educated and he was very capable and had certainly a very highly intelligent mind and intellect. And he rose to become a great teacher in Judaism. He says it's refuse. Can't use that for God. But he himself, in his own personality, he yielded himself, emulating the person of our Lord Jesus. Beloved, our chief shepherd is God. And yet the marvel of it is, he bows with a basin in his hand to take the feet of dear men, his disciples, and wash them and wipe them. That's a yielded personality. That's what God is looking for with you, my dear younger brother. It's not you showing what you know. It's you yielding yourself. And the abilities that you have yielded unto the Lord. And that helps in your personality to become a vessel. That personality can be a channel that will be able to communicate a likeness of spirit. And others will likewise be blessed by a personality that is yielded and emulating the person of the Good Shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ. The shepherd is a sheep. And it's good for us to remember that too. You know, our beloved brethren, they're not lions. They don't roar. And they're not bulls to be going around butting, as I mentioned. I remember a dear brother in our assembly. He was a farmer and he had a big bull, big Holstein bull. And he used to put his head right in the mouth of that bull. And he wanted me to do it. No way I'd ever put my head in the mouth of that bull. He never knew what he was liable to do. He'd clamp down on mine for sure. Maybe others would like me to do it, but I wouldn't do it. But he so was in such touch with that old bull, he'd put his head right in his mouth. But listen, God's overseers are not bulls. They're sheep, just like us. You know what they require? They require the rest of us sheep to run with them. And thus, they being in subject to the chief shepherd, that's how we are going to become subject to the chief shepherd. Run with them. Don't run against them. They're only sheep. They're looking for guidance. They need shepherding, and we need to run with them that we may support them and obey them, that they will receive the guidance and the confidence of the flock, that we may work together. Now, I have 10 minutes, and I want to notice in a particular way what the burden of our brethren have been regarding the work of the shepherd and the shepherd planning for the future needs of his sheep. And as you've noticed, I've listed these seven things in the shepherd's work, calling them by name while leading. Communication, as we've been considering together, and hospitality, and the feeding of the sheep, which we want to try and notice in a particular way, which is so necessary, and the watering of sheep, of course, which we have touched upon already. The sheep fear troubled waters. That's a very interesting thing. And they do not want to drink out of troubled waters, but they are peaceful by quiet waters. And therefore, we need to see the work of shepherds in seeking to keep the waters as quiet as possible in the assembly for the benefit of the prosperity of the sheep. And then there's the restoring of sheep. Brother David Oliver mentioned that yesterday, and the one thing he forgot to say was when that man jumped back in the car after he worked with that sheep, he said, "I just restored him." That's what the restoration of the sheep is. A sheep that's over on its back. You put it up on its feet. He rubbed its legs just to get the circulation moving again. He said, "I restored the sheep." That's what sheep need, brethren. It's sometimes, I think, there's been a misuse of the staff. The staff was never intended to hit a sheep on the head. The staff was intended to catch a sheep by the leg that was beginning to wander. That's what it's for, to draw it back. The rod is for the bear or the wolf, not for the sheep. The staff is for the sheep, and the rod is for the enemy. It would pitch the rod and crown that wolf, but he would take the staff and draw the sheep. That is the love and the purpose of the shepherd in his work. And then there's the grooming. And as you'll notice, I mentioned that insects burrow into their skull. That's a very interesting thing. It would cause the sheep to be shaking their head. And the shepherd would know what it needs is warm oil. And the warm oil would go into where the little bugs are, the little mites that are going and burrowing into the brain of the sheep, and give them relief. And we need that. There are things, brethren, that trouble us. And we need you, dear brethren, dear shepherds, we need you to pour oil on our head. There are brethren that are under pressures and under stresses that need just that little word. Maybe it's only on the phone. Maybe it's just a little card. Maybe just 10 words after a meeting. Something of a little oil to stop the burrowing into the mind of that believer that's troubling them. There is the grooming of the sheep. And then the shearing of the sheep, which I have mentioned, is a twofold thought. The removing of the heavy coat, which slows its walking. And that happens sometimes. I was thinking of that little verse that said, "The sin that doth so easily beset us, weighs us down. Something that's stopping us from moving forward. That needs to be removed." But it also can be looked upon, of course, as being the fruitfulness of the sheep. And that is the idea of teaching the sanctification in the life of the believer of that which is developing for God, yielding it to God, and shepherd work, and is intended to be that which will help to give sanctification to those believers so it doesn't go to their head and they become a mouthy old thing that doesn't know enough to keep quiet and causes problems and sometimes, very sad to say, they become tragedies. And then there is the delivering of lambs. And I've said it often, brethren, and I say it very kindly, and I trust it will become a matter of prayer with those who are overseers. Every overseer should be exercised to be the channel of seeing a sinner get saved. When you see a lamb born, I want to tell you, you take great care of it. But sometimes when it's somebody else's lambs, we don't have the same care for them. But you see them born, and you'll care for them. God is teaching us that way, and He wants us to become involved with that. So especially those of you who are younger men, will you make that a discipline of your prayers? That God will help you to be a channel to see some soul saved. Could be that you'll be reading them a verse. It could be you'll be pointing the way for them. And when you see them born, that will cultivate that care of the shepherd for that little lamb. And therefore, you will progress with them through the stages of their development, and that will indeed teach you and help you as a shepherd. So I want to notice with you, in relation to the shepherd's work, the primary burden, of course, of an overseer's work or a shepherd's work is to maintain the honor and testimony of the name of the Lord Jesus in the house of God. We must keep that primary, dearly beloved. It isn't a question of your progress. It isn't a question of what you may produce. The great concern of my heart should be the honor of that glorious name under which we gather, the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's primary when it comes to discipline, when it comes to development, when it comes to the teaching that we're going to look at. What is primary is Christ must be magnified, and he must have the place that is his by right. He is Lord of all. And indeed, as we've just been singing together, no mortal can with him compare among the sons of men. Fairer is he than all the fair that fill the heavenly train. May it be imprinted in our soul and planted in our hearts that in all things first, Christ must be magnified. I was going to take time, I'm just going to suggest this to you because I do not want to take the time to look at the detail of it. But Paul was a tremendous shepherd. And men who see new work commenced and see a little assembly planted, it's an amazing thing how you can recognize God putting shepherd care into the hearts of individuals, even when they're young in the faith. And you will see another man and you can see he's going to be an evangelist. Going to be there. You can see it developing in them. And so, dear younger brethren, let me say to you again, your brethren are watching you because they can see that there is a care for God's people in your heart. It's there. And right from early days, some older brother is going to say to you, why don't you come with me on Thursday night? We're going to visit so-and-so. They're not too well. We want to just give them a little word of encouragement. Do that, brethren. Take them with you. That's how they're going to become trusted by the saints, but they're going to develop in their care, their wisdom in their care for God's people. And that's what happens when it comes to the fact of looking after the sheep in this fashion that we've just been looking at. And in the Corinthian epistle, by the construction of that epistle, Paul, as a shepherd, shows a pathway of seeing restoration brought amongst the people of God. And restoration is a great burden for shepherds. It's probably the majority of their work to keep things restored to affection for the Lord Jesus, restored to that unity of fellowship of which we were hearing. And so the joy of that and the fruit of it, that is their burden. And as you look at the Corinthian epistle, the construction of that epistle, it starts out with maintaining unity, contentions are settled, and then it goes into cleanliness, impurity, and disciplines, and then it goes into conscience items relative to the believers in chapters 7 to 9, and then he touches on their activities in chapters 10 to 14. And not until then. That's the pattern. Good instruction for shepherds and dealing with matters when it comes to seeking to see restoration again to the Lord Jesus having his rightful place and God's people in unity laboring together. Now, when it comes to the matter of the feeding of the sheep, let me just mention a little concerning this in the closing minutes that I have before me today. A shepherd's responsible to determine the right pasture for his flock. Interestingly, one thing I did learn from questioning a shepherd was that sheep do not want a trampled pasture. If they've been on the same pasture for 3 or 4 days, they won't eat it because they've trampled it. They need fresh pasture. Young believers need teaching concerning principles, principles that are basic relative to Christianity, relative to assembly fellowship. The older believers, they also need guidance relative to, like the apostle tells us, or the writer of the Hebrews tells us, they need meat, that which is going to develop the glories of the person of our Lord Jesus in his position, in his glories, in maybe prophecy, it may be dispensations, it may be typology. But whatever the need is of that flock, and let me just say this in passing. Sometimes when we think of having ministry meetings or having Bible readings, we'll say, well, we're going to leave that up to the Spirit of God to guide. You know, brother, there's a sense in which that's a cop-out. If the overseers are exercised about the feeding of the flock, they'll know what they need. And whether you have those Bible readings yourselves, or whether you invite someone to come and have those Bible readings or a week of ministry meetings, tell them. Tell them what the exercise of the brethren is. Don't leave it open, because that's not going to meet that need. It may be something that they've already been trampling on for 6 months, rather than giving them fresh food to eat. I think we have a beautiful example of that when we read Peter's two epistles. That's what he's doing. As you read through Peter's two epistles, he deals in five distinct pastures of teaching in his epistles. Five distinct pastures. He's leading God's people through different pastures of teaching. And therefore, we see the wisdom of the shepherd in feeding the flock. When I turn to Titus chapter 2, I see that there's a distinction between age and sex relative to teaching. And that is important. Can I just suggest to you, beloved brethren, that even our dear sisters can be teachers of younger sisters. Now, that's not publicly being up here, but that's appropriate to the need that younger sisters have. Even the younger ones, as we've been hearing, a world that's corrupted the idea of chastity or the idea of dignity relative to the human body, to the mind, to the expression of it in the family. They need teaching on that. They're not getting it in that world. And it's something that's sensitive that women must talk to women about. And likewise, men to men. So to have a class for that is not out of place, beloved brethren. It's scriptural. And that should be the burden, part of the burden of overseers in their seeking to feed the flock of God. There are two things that will be the result of you inviting a man. I'm just using this as an example. Do it yourself if you like. But if you invited a brother for a week of Bible readings, two things are going to be the result. One is the flock is going to see a development of how to study their Bible and how to arrive at the meaning of that passage. That is so important, brethren. Forget your little ditties when you come to your Bible reading. We've got to know the meaning of the passage. That's what God wants the flock to learn. That's what makes them intelligent when it comes to preservation from evil, from that lion and that bear. You've got to deliver them from that. You're giving them good teaching. The other thing it will do is it will back up what you've been teaching in the other 250 weeks of the year. So those two things, elements, are good. The saints will know that they can trust you in their teaching when they hear it, even from a visiting brother that comes. So my time has come to close, and I want just to say that I trust that God will enrich his flock and will enrich his shepherds as well, as we've been considering brethren who stand before us as examples. And I trust also, my dearly beloved brethren, who are taking the place of an overseer, a shepherd. Let me just say, I'm just a sheep. And I appreciate it, and I would appreciate it if you use your basin on my feet. And you use a little oil on my head, like dear David speaks of in Psalm 23, and use the rod for my protection. There's material out there that's very exciting to read. But you know, brethren, it gives very wrong teaching concerning the impeccability of the person of the Lord Jesus. Even wrong in teaching relative to his coming again for the church to the air, the timing of it. And even the dispensations that mixes them up, wrong teaching. You men are responsible to close the mouths of those wrong teachers by teaching right doctrine. God help you to do so. We need you, and we respect you, and we trust the Lord will encourage you.